Chapter 6
Well, first things first, I said with an awkward chuckle, as Leah continued to look at the cells under the microscope. If that thing can really regrow itself, we should probably, like, destroy it, maybe?
Destroy it?
Leah gasped as she pulled away from the equipment.
Carter, this is scientific evidence of a new species of animal. The only evidence. We can't just discard it like a college boy's tissues after an intense wank. That was needlessly colorful,
Janine said with a gag.
But I agree. Carter, this could be huge for the scientific community, and even bigger for Leah. Huge doesn't even begin to cover it. Ever since I was a little girl, I've dreamed of discovering something like this. Oh, hell, if we play our cards right, I could have a living, breathing animal named after me. Oh, how exciting!
Can I have a sidebar with you, Janine? I asked as I waggled my finger at the redhead. Janine and Leah shrugged at each other before the blonde woman went back to her microscope, and Janine took a few steps away so we could talk in private.
Look how excited she is, Carter,
Janine said with a frown.
We can't just destroy the specimen she's worked so hard to identify.
That's the thing. I shook my head. We still haven't identified it. All we know is it's some sort of paranormal creature, and it can apparently replicate its cells and regenerate itself. Now, it may be I'm being paranoid here, but I don't want to be around when it grows back fully.
We won't let it grow back fully. I'm sure once Leah is done with her experiments, she will put it in one of the freezer units. It can't regrow if it's frozen.
That's not something we know for sure. For all we know, this mystery creature could be immune to the cold. Janine whispered as she adjusted her glasses.
If only there was a place we could go to test out that theory. A place with all sorts of equipment that would allow us to put the specimen under different controlled conditions.
Okay, okay, I said, and then I stuck out my tongue at her sass. I get it.
I'm just saying.
The para-archaeology student shrugged.
We may not know exactly what this thing is, but we can at least find out what its weaknesses and attributes could be.
She was right. So far, we assumed that whatever left this specimen behind was some sort of aquatic monster, but aside from that, we knew next to nothing about its origin. But, just as I was about to go along with Janine's plan, another dark thought entered my mind. The question is, do we want Leah to discover this creature? I asked under my breath.
What do you mean? She's already discovered it.
Sure, she has. I nodded. But she's the only one so far, aside from us. If we destroy the evidence, I doubt anyone would believe her.
Why in the world would we do that?
Well, it's not like I want to, but think about what happens when Leah publishes her paper or notes or whatever she plans to do with the specimen. Say it gets published in a big science journal. Then what? The press starts coming around, as do a bunch of scientists who specialize in biological science, and once it's said this is a new species of animal, well, then we get all the paranormal loonies.
And?
Janine scoffed and placed her hands on her hips. Not you! I blurted out instantly. I'm not saying you're a paranormal loony, but you and I are complicit in this whole thing, Janine. If you were able to figure out I was a werepanther, then surely those nutjobs would be able to as well. That's when we start seeing blog posts about werepanthers in Cincinnati, or long YouTube video essays citing my existence as evidence of the paranormal. I've already got a big enough target on my back, and that would be like announcing my presence with a megaphone.
We don't have to be involved at all. We can just step back and allow Leah to take all the credit. That'll keep us off the radar, period.
Come on now. I haven't known Leah for long, but I know for a fact she isn't the kind of person who would take all the credit. Sooner or later, she'd crack and let it spill that we helped her out with this discovery.
So what? We just let it have an unfortunate Bunsen burner accident?
I frowned as I looked back over at Leah. The blonde bombshell still had her eyes placed into the eyepieces of the microscope, and she happily sashayed her hips to and fro as she hummed a little tune. Shit, I sighed. Even though I was concerned about attracting attention to myself, Leah looked so excited. This was the sort of discovery that could jumpstart her entire career before she even graduated. Not many living people could say they discovered an entirely new species of animal in their early 20s. Leah Nash would become a household name in the scientific community, and she could reap the rewards of all the fame and fortune that came along with the title. I couldn't destroy the specimen. I would never be able to live with myself if I hurt Leah like that. No, I can't do it.
There's the Carter I know and love.
Janine purred as she placed her delicate finger against my chin and lifted it up so our eyes met.
You'd never do anything to hurt somebody you care about, even if it was in your best interest to do so.
Yeah, yeah. We're just going to have to be really, really careful when outside parties start snooping around. I don't want to get featured on the front page of the National Enquirer.
I don't know.
The redhead said, before she tapped my nose lovingly.
I think we'd be perfect tabloid fodder. Oh, I can see the headline now. Beauty and the Beast. A fae and a werepanther find love on the UC campus.
That's pretty good. Though I think calling me a beast is a little harsh.
Oh, I was talking about myself. I'm the one who was so fucked up my real parents kicked me to the curb.
Well, hey now, I said to the woman, as I tenderly ran my hand over her cheek. I'm not going to sit here and let you talk about yourself like that. Your parents are fucking idiots for thinking that way, and if I ever meet them, I'm going to tear them a new asshole.
Not literally, I hope. As much as I despise them, I don't want them to be another one of your murder victims. What are you two whispering about?
Leah's voice scoffed, and Janine and I pulled away from each other.
You talking about me?
The blonde biology student was standing there with a smug half-smile, as she tilted her head to the side and crossed her arms. Sorry, I said as my face heated up. We were just talking about all the tests we wanted to run on the specimen before. What exactly do you plan on doing with it?
Well, for now, I'm just gonna put it in the lab freezer. I'll probably let Dr. Feinstein know about it, since she's technically my supervisor and all. After that, I don't know. I guess that all depends on how these tests go, and whether or not I want to test the specimen any further. Eventually, I'll write a paper about it, though. Maybe once I get a firmer grasp on what exactly this thing is. I wish we could be more helpful,
Janine said with an unamused expression.
There's about 50,000 paranormal creatures running around in this brain of mine, yet I can't think of any that have clear scales like that.
Maybe some further tests would help jog your memory.
What kind of tests were you thinking of?
Shit. I needed to think fast about this one. I wanted to figure out what sort of creature we were actually dealing with here, just in case we ever ran into it in the wild. I needed to know its strengths, weaknesses, and characteristics. But I couldn't really just come out and say that to Leah's face. So, I did what I'd always seen in stories like Star Trek or Stargate SG-1 or even Back to the Future. I came up with a bunch of jargony technobabble. Well, I wanted to test the stability of the specimen's cellular composition, particularly when it is exposed to stress.
So, you want to put it under a stress test?
Leah raised an eyebrow.
We've seen the specimen can replicate its cells. We want to see just how much it can endure before that function fails.
Leah rubbed her chin as she thought about our proposition. Her eyes looked to the ceiling, and she tapped her foot as her lips puckered.
Not a bad idea.
She finally nodded.
But we have to be really careful doing that. We'd hate to accidentally destroy the entire specimen.
Of course, I said as I held back an awkward chuckle. It will only take chunks out of it, I promise.
Chunks? Those scales don't seem to bend or break for anything.
Then we'll need to try and break through them, won't we? Why don't we start with fire? I haven't seen any living creature yet that's immune to flames.
Let me go get the torch,
Leah said as her eyes narrowed.
And the extinguisher.
The blonde slipped away to the far wall of the room and then proceeded to search through the bins on the wall shelves. Eventually, she pulled out a small, handheld blue metal tube that had an angled copper pipe attached to the top. She fumbled around in the bins for a few minutes before she grabbed a miniature fire extinguisher in her hand. She placed the blowtorch and the extinguisher down on the desk, and then she scooped up a large set of forceps, clicked them twice, and walked over to Janine and I.
What do you need us to do? That depends. How much do you trust me?
Let me guess. You want one of us to hold the specimen while you torch it.
Bingo!
Leah clapped her hands together and then handed me the forceps.
Thanks for volunteering, Carter.
Wait! I began, but it was too late. Leah slid the petri dish out from underneath the microscope and held it out in front of me. When I hesitated, the biology student raised an eyebrow in my direction and moved the petri dish even closer. I gently reached out with the forceps, picked up the specimen from the dish, and then held it firmly with the pincers. When Leah grabbed the torch, though, I cautiously took a step back and put as much distance between myself and the specimen as humanly possible.
I'll be on extinguisher duty,
Janine said with a snort, and then she picked up the small red tube. Leah twisted the small black knob on the torch's side, grabbed a flint torch igniter, and then squeezed it twice to create a spark. The butane gas caught fire almost immediately, and a millisecond later, the torch was spitting out white-hot flames. Leah's ocean-blue eyes shone bright with excitement as her lips twisted into a smile, and she brought the fire toward the specimen.
Easy. easy.
The blonde whispered to herself when the torch got within a few centimeters away from the specimen.
Just the edge.
When the flames actually touched the green, scaly flesh of the specimen, we all let out a gasp of surprise. The damn thing started writhing around like it was in pain, while the edge of its skin was torched into a scorched black color. I squeezed the forceps tighter to keep it in place, but then Leah finally pulled the fire away. The specimen stopped dead in its tracks the second the flames were gone, though its entire top side was black and crusty.
I was definitely not expecting that. Nor was I,
Leah said, as she turned off the torch and proceeded to pick up the petri dish.
Here, put it back in this thing.
I dropped the hunk of flesh and plopped it down into the glass dish with a dull thud. Leah slid the specimen back under the microscope, leaned over, and pressed her eyes into the microscope's eyepieces as she adjusted its knobs. Then the blonde woman began to click her tongue. What is it? Did that have any effect on the cells?
It did. The spot where we torched it, there's no movement in the nuclei whatsoever. Those cells are completely dead.
Okay, so whatever this creature was, it looked like fire could kill it. What about the freezer? I know you said you wanted to put it in there eventually, but I'm kind of worried it'll keep growing back. The last thing you want to do is come back to this room tomorrow and find a full-grown creature waiting for you.
You really think that would happen?
Leah gasped as a smile crept up her face.
Do you think it would completely regrow its body if we left it alone?
Oh, boy. I thought that's what it was doing before, when it was cloning its cells.
It was,
Leah said with a nod.
But I assumed it would just regrow the cells that were originally around this part of the body. I've yet to encounter an animal that could actually regrow its entire body from a simple piece of flesh. Such a feat would require it to create all sorts of specialized cells, and if that's really a paranormal creature, which I think it definitely is, then we're not dealing with anything remotely known to the world of science. We have no freaking clue what could actually happen.
Also, if it's a paranormal creature, it might be dangerous. I'm sure you don't want it to regrow itself.
Why not? I'm sure it can handle it.
Not if it's like a giant frog monster or a 30-foot-long sea serpent or something.
Could you imagine?
The blonde's eyes were now aglow with happiness. Let's just finish these tests, I said as I tried to change the subject. I still want to see how it responds to acid, ice, and electricity at the least.
One dose of hydrochloric acid coming right up,
Leah said as she ran over to the shelves again and brought back a bottle with a label that read HCl written in marker.
This is a concentration a little stronger than our stomach acid.
Leah then used an eyedropper-looking thing to draw out some of the acid, and she pulled out the petri dish and set it on the desktop. She proceeded to drip several drops into the dish, with a diluted water spray bottle on standby, and once more, the specimen began to writhe as if it were in pain. There was a hissing sound as smoke rose up from the specimen, and the damn thing twitched even harder than before. However, when Leah slid it back under the microscope, she frowned.
What's wrong? Did it not have any effect? It's strange,
the blonde said with a sigh.
The acid seemed to melt the scales off the specimen's skin, though the cells are already starting to multiply and replenish them.
So acid is a kinda sorta. In the Pokemon world, it'd be considered a not very effective attack.
That's the perfect analogy. Thank you, Professor Oak.
Well, it'd be dangerous to go alone, I said with a wink.
Wrong game, my friend.
The blonde shot back without missing a beat. Damn it, I was hoping you wouldn't catch that.
I don't understand what you both are talking about.
Video games. Leah and I both said at the same time, and then we smiled at each other before she blushed a bit and went back to looking at the sample. The three of us continued testing for another hour. We put the specimen inside of a simulated wind tunnel, though that had no effect whatsoever on the mystery creature's flesh. Next, Leah placed it onto a small plate attached to a couple of electrodes. When she twisted the knob on the machine, it crackled to life with an electrical hum, and the specimen seized up like it had been struck by lightning. When Leah checked it out in the microscope, though, she realized the specimen was still all in one piece. Finally, we placed the specimen into the lab freezer and waited 30 minutes for it to get nice and cold. Leah pulled it out once it was partially frozen and then slid it back under the lens of the microscope.
Eureka! Are the cells dead? Nope.
The biology student said as she pulled her short hair back over her ears.
But all the genetic material in this specimen is frozen in place. I would wager that if we give it a few more minutes, it'll thaw out and be right back to its original state. And what if we sped up the process?
Janine said, as her eyes narrowed.
What if we put it into some water? That's where it was originally found, right? It's safe to assume water is the creature's natural habitat, so maybe observing it in a tank might be beneficial. It couldn't hurt.
Leah shrugged.
There should be some bowls over there, and you both already know where the sink is.
I walked over and snatched up a bowl, which I promptly took over and filled with some room-temperature distilled water. Leah hardly even waited for me to set the damn thing down on the desktop before she plopped the specimen inside, and a bit of water splashed up and onto my shirt. Ugh! I gasped as a wave of fishy stench hit my nostrils.
Somehow it made the water smell terrible.
I pinched my nose as we all leaned forward and stared into the bowl from above. Much to our surprise, it didn't take long for the piece of flesh to become reanimated. Within 5 minutes of placing it under the water, the specimen started to writhe and twist around before us.
Why is it acting like it's in pain?
Janine asked aloud.
Shouldn't it like the water? It would make sense. Though I'm starting to wonder if maybe those movements aren't from pain at all.
What else could they be? It squirmed and shook and shit when we set it on fire, electrocuted it, and poured flesh-burning acid over its scales. Seems like a painful reaction to me.
Unless it was just reacting to stimulation in general. Perhaps it simply has some sort of automatic nervous system response. That would suggest it's fish-like in nature. No brains, but a body that will react purely on instinct. Perhaps.
Leah nodded.
Though I wonder... Oh, shit!
As she spoke, the specimen in the bowl began to fucking grow. It had nearly doubled in size already, and now I could see the definite shape of a scaly, narrow tail. A single boomerang-shaped tail fin appeared at the end of the appendage, and all of us simply looked at each other in shock as we tried to rationalize what we were seeing. "Take it out of there!" I commanded as I reached into the bowl. "It's gonna fully grow back!" I yanked the now-finished tail out of the bowl and held it up high. It was still slippery and wet, and I noticed the flesh at the other end of the specimen was now starting to grow back as well.
Throw it into the wind tunnel! We have to get it dry ASAP!
I ran over to the wind tunnel machine, threw open the door, and then tossed the tail inside. Leah was instantly at my side, and the blonde woman hurriedly pressed a bunch of buttons as the machine roared to life. There was a loud mechanical buzz as the wind tunnel started up, and we all watched as the tail writhed around and bounced back and forth inside of the enclosure. Soon the appendage went limp, so we turned off the machine.
So... don't put it in water. I suppose this confirms our theory about it being an aquatic creature.
Leah said as she opened up the door of the machine. Damn. I have never seen anything like that in my life.
Have you though, Janine?
Leah asked the redhead.
Now that we have about one quarter of a creature, it might be easier to identify visually. It looks like a tail to me.
Janine hung her head.
I'm sorry. Like I said, aquatic paranormal creatures are not really my specialty. Do you know anyone who would specialize in that area? I think so.
Janine nodded.
Dr. Hansen. Hansen.
Leah pondered as she rubbed her chin.
I'm not familiar with that professor.
I am. He's a bit... I held out my right-hand index finger to my temple and made a circular motion. As I did so, I let out a cuckoo whistle, and Janine snorted.
He's a little weird, but he's also a genius when it comes to anything with the paranormal. If anybody could identify this tail, it'd be him. Then let's take it to Dr. Hansen,
Leah said, as she pulled the specimen from the machine. Maybe we should freeze that again before we go? I'm pretty sure his office is all the way across campus, and I don't want the entire creature to grow back by the time we get there.
Actually, I have a better idea.
The blonde woman said, as she ran over to the doorway in the lab.
Wait right here.
My superhuman ears picked up the sound of rustling styrofoam from the other room, followed by a seal popping, and then something falling gently against the styrofoam with a dull thud. Next, I heard the distinct noise of ice cubes rustling around inside of a container, and then Leah came around the corner with a small, white styrofoam cooler in her hands. Good idea, I said with a smirk, as I picked up the specimen. That should keep it on ice for at least a couple of hours.
At least. Once we're done at Hansen's, I'll bring it back here and toss it in the freezer.
We popped open the cooler, tossed the tail of the mystery creature inside, and proceeded to the exit. Leah locked the lab doors behind us and made sure to turn off the lights. And then we headed out of Rivichelle Hall. Since Janine and I knew where we were going, we took the lead. And Leah walked a few steps behind us. And as we walked, I took the opportunity to get in a quick, discreet conversation with the redhead. as much as I want to know what this thing is, I said in a hushed whisper, I'm not sure if going to Hansen is the right call. The dude is already suspicious of me, and I can't imagine that getting any better if I show up on his doorstep with the tail of another paranormal creature.
See, I think it'd be the opposite,
Janine whispered back.
If you really were a werepanther and Hansen made it sound super obvious he was suspicious of you, why would you want to be anywhere near him?
Exactly, I said with a nod. I shouldn't be.
You know what they say, though. Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
I don't think Dr. Hansen is my enemy, though. More like the kind of annoying guy who could potentially throw a monkey wrench in things.
Even if he is suspicious of you, Carter.
Janine shook her head.
He's going to be so over the moon about Leah's discovery that he won't give a shit. His entire focus is going to be on this specimen and nothing else. Plus, you were a damn good actor the last time we were in there.
Yeah, I put DiCaprio to shame. I joked as I patted the redhead on the shoulder. We continued across campus for nearly 20 minutes until we finally came to the old, run-down building that housed Hansen's office. The three of us sauntered inside, through the door with the rusty hinges, and then down the cracked concrete stairs. Eventually, we came to a simple brown door with a plaque beside it. The plaque read, Dr. Hansen, Archaeology.
I hope he's in there,
Leah said, as she looked around the dank, dark hallway.
I feel like I'm gonna get murdered down here. You get used to it after a while. It just feels like a ghost town because nobody comes to this building anymore, aside from crazy people like us.
The redhead archaeology student reached up and pounded on the door three times, and we all sat back and waited until we finally heard quick, harsh footfalls on the other side. A metallic shriek pierced our ears as the door's rusty deadbolt was unlocked, and then it swung open to reveal a short, stocky man with a comb-over and a tweed tan suit.
Janine!
Dr. Hansen's face twisted into a smile when he saw us.
Carter! And I'm sorry, dear, I don't know your name.
Leah.
Like the princess!
Hansen clapped his hands together with glee.
Come on in, you three! I was just doing some research for an article I'm writing about the Nazca Lines.
Sounds fascinating, Dr. Hansen,
Janine said, as she tilted her head to the right.
But what does that have to do with the paranormal?
Janine!
The pudgy man clicked his tongue and adjusted his glasses.
I know I've taught you better than that. Surely you know the prevalent theory on who built the Nazca Lines, no?
Aliens? I said, as I squinted and held my hands up in front of my face. Leah let out a snort as she tried to contain her laughter, but Hansen and Janine just kept right on going.
That's what many of my colleagues think, yes.
Dr. Hansen nodded, and then he moved back inside his office.
Though I'm setting out to shut down that theory completely.
So, who built them then?
Leah asked, as the three of us entered the office.
Bigfoot?
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
Hansen smiled as he plopped into the rolling chair behind his cluttered 10-foot-wide desk.
Oh, imagine, enough Sasquatches getting together and working as a collective unit to build elaborate messages, only visible from the sky. Oh, no, they are far too solitary creatures for that. The Nazca Lines were created by the Saurians.
The old wizard dude from Lord of the Rings?
Not Saruman. Saurians! Lizard people!
Lizard people! I raised an eyebrow. Why would they need to create giant pictures out of rocks?
I'm afraid I can't give that away, my boy!
Hansen shook his head and then adjusted his silver bow tie.
If you want the answer, you'll have to read my article when it comes out. Now, what brings you into my office today?
Our friend Leah here has made a discovery. One we think you'll enjoy.
And one we need your help with.
Leah added, as she lifted the cooler up and sat it on her lap.
Oh, my dear,
Hansen said, as he closed his eyes and waved his hand in front of him.
Oh, I stopped drinking years ago. It really hurts your credibility when people can just claim you're drunk off your rocker.
It's not alcohol in here.
Leah shook her head.
It's a specimen found over by the lake. The three of us believe it has paranormal qualities.
The professor's eyes narrowed when he heard the word paranormal, and he placed his hands together and leaned forward.
I'm listening,
the balding man nodded. Leah pulled the lid off the styrofoam cooler, and she reached inside and gently removed the specimen from its icy prison. Dr. Hansen shuffled around the papers on his desk to make room for the tail, and then Leah set it down. Instantly, the professor snatched up the specimen, adjusted his glasses, and then turned the tail around in his hands.
You know aquatic creatures aren't my thing,
Janine said with a frown.
That's why we came to you.
This is quite an interesting specimen indeed, but its appearance is far too generic for me to quite nail down an identity. Can you tell me anything else about this specimen?
Its cells can regenerate.
And it really regenerates quickly when it's covered in water. What you're holding in your hand was nothing but a small hunk of flesh before we dropped it in a bowl of water.
Ah!
Anson let out a satisfied breath as he ran his fingers across the tail fin.
That helps immensely. What you're dealing with here is the tale of a muck dweller. Incredible.
Ugh, a muck dweller!
Janine said, as she gently slapped her open palm on her forehead.
Of course! I should have known from the translucent scales!
Don't beat yourself up, dear,
Hansen said to the redhead.
This could have easily been a mud mermaid or an Anguis imminemk.
How big of a deal is this, then?
Leah gulped, and I noticed her hands were starting to shake with anticipation.
Are there a lot of these specimens floating around?
Oh, no, princess. There are only a handful that have been preserved, on account of the creature's healing factor. And those are seen as fake by the scientific community, thanks to the idiots who tried to pass them off as mermaid tales.
So, I've discovered scientific proof of a new species, then?
The blonde woman asked, as she stuck her hands in her sweatshirt pocket.
Well, it's not new,
Hansen admitted, as he set the tail back on the table.
At least not to anyone who has researched the paranormal extensively. But yes, my dear, this is quite the discovery. Congratulations!
Yes!
Leah screamed as she stood up and pumped her fist in the air.
This is so fucking exciting!
You're not acting very excited, Dr. Hansen, I said with a smirk as I looked over at the doctor.
I am happy for you all, but I already knew of this creature's existence. I just hope you will be believed by the media and all the rest of your colleagues. Though I will admit, I'm surprised one of Orgland's minions is out this far.
Hold on.
Janine's smile faded in a flash, and her complexion turned pure white.
Orglin? You never told me these creatures were tied to Orglin.
You said you weren't interested in aquatic creatures.
Dr. Hansen shrugged.
So I only taught you the basics of that genre of creatures.
But you know about Orglin? I raised an eyebrow at the redhead.
Of course I do.
Janine nodded.
Everybody who knows anything about the paranormal knows Orglin.
He is the most powerful creature in the Ohio,
the pudgy professor explained.
In the Ohio? Don't you mean in Ohio? Nope.
Hansen shook his head.
He is an amphibious, intelligent creature. His domain is the entirety of the Ohio River. Where did you say this specimen was found?
The lake in Burnett Woods.
Burnett Woods,
Hansen said as he stroked his peppered goatee.
Strange. The muck dwellers never leave the Ohio River. And though Orglin himself has been spotted everywhere along its winding path, his minions have mostly been encountered near the West Virginia and Pennsylvania border. It's strange for them to be out this far west, and in a foreign body of water, no less.
I really didn't like where this was going. A powerful, paranormal creature who commanded an army of ugly, regenerating beasts? A creature who'd left his normal territory and come to Cincinnati, where there just happened to be a power vacuum left by Div's death. It was looking more and more like this Orglin guy was coming for me.
I don't really care why they're out here,
Leah said with a smirk.
I'm just pumped at what this means for the scientific community.
As you should be, dear.
Dr. Hansen leaned back in his office chair and crossed his hands over his belly.
Say, Janine, Carter, what's the matter? You both look white as ghosts.
But nothing. We're just kind of overwhelmed by this all. I mean, it's not every day you discover a new species of animal.
Ugh, I hate that word. Animal. The muck dwellers and Orglin are both living, breathing creatures with a conscience and a functioning brain. They aren't simple beasts like mice or cop or a snake.
It's still exciting. I've discovered some pretty cool stuff with my thesis research, but nothing as concrete as this.
Is that so?
Dr. Hansen raised an eyebrow at the redhead, and for a second, my heart stopped. Did he know my secret? It sounded an awful lot like he knew my secret and was goading Janine into slipping up. It's hard to find anything concrete with her research. I've been helping her, and the sources for those damn were-creatures are few and far between.
Understandable,
the pudgy man said with a tilt of his head.
Any actual evidence of a were-panther's hard to come by. They get killed off so quickly, after all. I'd imagine you'd have much more time to help Janine now, Carter, especially since you've dropped out of your classes.
My heart stopped in my chest, and a strange tingling sensation overtook my body. How did you know that? I mean, yeah, I've been helping a lot more since I have way more free time, but I don't see how that's relevant.
It's not.
Hansen shook his head.
But my colleagues in the history department told me they were worried about you, and they knew you were recently seen around Miss Beckett, so I'm simply relaying that message.
I pursed my lips as I tried to think of a good response. Thankfully, I didn't have to, because Leah had some questions.
Were-panthers? I thought there were only werewolves.
I see you haven't shared your research with the beautiful princess here. There are were-everything, my dear. From wolves to bears to panthers and boars. Oh my. Leah said with a satisfied grin.
Maybe I'll find evidence of those someday, too. Anyways,
Janine blurted out.
We've kept you long enough, Dr. Hansen. We'd hate to hold up your Nazca Lines article any longer.
It's not due until 5 o'clock today,
the doctor said as he looked at his watch.
I have plenty of time.
It's 3:30 right now.
I know what I said,
Hansen responded with a warm smile.
I hope to see you all again very soon.
With that, the three of us grabbed the specimen and tossed it back in the cooler. The second we walked out the door of the Adams family office, we all looked at each other in total disbelief. I told you he was loco. I chuckled as I made the sign again.
He's eccentric. Kind of like me.
You're nowhere near as eccentric as him. Trust me on that.
Well, eccentric or not,
Leah said, as she grinned from ear to ear.
He just confirmed the exact type of creature this is. This is fucking huge. I gotta get this back in the freezer, and then I'm gonna go tell Becca and Valerie about this.
Do you need to ride back to your dorm? I asked. But the blonde had already turned around and was running away.
Thanks for the offer, but I'm good,
Leah said, as she moved further and further away.
I'll text you later, okay? Thanks for your help.
Once Leah and the cooler were out of sight, I looked over at Janine. So, on a scale of 1 to completely fucked, how bad is this?
I don't know.
Janine shook her head.
It's not good, that much is for sure.
We need to get back to Cincy's Jewel. Maybe Ada will have some insider tips on this Orgland guy.
I really, really hope so. Because from everything I know about the guy, he's 10 times worse than Div.
Well, fuck me. Apparently that target on my back must have been brighter than I thought. I'd already attracted the attention of the next biggest paranormal creature in this area, and I was sure he wasn't just stopping by to say hello.